You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show, all about real estate edition, shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry, the home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the About Real Estate Edition. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friend and colleague, Carol Morgan. Good morning, Carol. Yet another rookie guest on this show. How are we getting so many rookies on a show that's 5.5 years old?
I'm telling you, I've been working hard, Todd. And part of it's just, you know, the industry has changed. We have some new players. We have people who have reinvented themselves. So...
No, I'm loving it. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a fun conversation. Actually, a cool organization doing some great work in the community. So looking forward to it. Let's get to it. We're joined this morning by Alan Kablik. He's the president of Kablik Enterprises. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. I appreciate you making time to join us. I know you're awfully busy, so appreciate you swinging by and joining us. Before we get into our conversation about all the important work that you're doing, Alan, take a quick minute or two and tell us a bit about you, your background, and then give us that overview of Kablik Enterprises, how you serve in the marketplace.
Sure. So I'm a Georgia native. I was actually born in Piedmont Hospital. I grew up in East Cobb, went to Walton High School, and then went to Georgia Tech. So I built high rises in South Florida for a while. My first job out of school, then came back. Actually, while I was moonlighting in that job, I started Kablik Enterprises 17 years ago.
Wow.
So
it's pretty impressive. So it looks like you have a ton of diversity in your portfolio. You know, it lists modern dwellings, custom homes, renovations, commercial, and consulting. What projects are your favorites?
Well, my favorites have to be the modern homes and townhouses. I also like very traditional homes that are more period correct for a certain era. I guess really anything that's really true to what it's supposed to be is my favorite. Although as you've seen, I mean, we've had all kind of, I was there for the recession and all that fun. So, you know, in that wonderful time, I had to do whatever it took. I mean, we were doing $6,000 renovations in the middle of not so great areas at that point. We were doing painting schools. We were doing anything and everything we could do. So I like to try to do whatever I need to do for the time. And luckily right now, townhouses and modern homes are in, and people have money and that's what they want. So right now everything's lining up for me. That's what I like to do. So it's a lot of fun right now. So, but you know, the market always changes. So we're always ready to reinvent ourselves and do what we got to do if it changes.
Well, commend you for kicking and scratching through those evil, dark times. Always respect an organization for doing those kinds of things. But I love this this idea that the modern dwellings are now hot, because that's my kind of style too. And in the place I live is, I guess I would classify as that as well. Why is that so hot? And I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity in this community to build more of that, right?
Sure. Well, I think that if you look back in history, everything has its cycle of what's in and what's out. And people think of sometimes that modern is new, but it's really been around for quite some time. So, and I also think it's a generational thing. Like all the baby boomers, when they came home from the war, they wanted something different than their parents.
Right.
So they looked at different types of homes, different scenarios. They were moving to the suburbs, getting a little mid-century ranch, you know, getting a 57 Chevy, and it was just a different lifestyle. A lot of the parents lived in the cities, lived in smaller homes, and so it kind of went from kind of what it is now to, a lot of this stuff isn't new. A lot of people think that, wow, you know, these small townhouses are new. But if you look in Kirkwood and Edgewood and some of those neighborhoods, there are lots that are only 20 feet wide.
Right.
So obviously there were homes on those lots that were 11, 12 feet wide back in the 1800s and things of that nature. So it's old, but it's really new, and it's old again. So it's kind of a cycle. And what I've done in, you know, researching the history on this kind of thing, there's modern has always been a smaller part of the market. And I believe now it's actually becoming a larger part of the market now. We'll see how long or how far that goes before it becomes a smaller part again. But there are certain times where it was large. Right after the war in the 60s, it was large. And then it kind of had a little revival in the 80s. With some of those contemporary kind of boxy wood homes that came about, but not quite as big of a surge as it was in the 60s. And now I feel like it's becoming more like it was in those times in the 50s and 60s. So,
yeah, it's clear that innovating and I guess innovating down in size is what we need to do to, you know, supply the homes to the millennials and I guess the boomers also, or even the older Gen X's who want to live in town and, you know, aren't going to spend $2 million on a house in Buckhead.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit. I know you've got a really creative project out there that has 11-foot wide townhomes. Let's talk a little bit about that project.
Yes. So that's one of my favorite new deals that we're doing right now. It is a very cool and innovative project that was driven by some constraints on the site. And rather than build condos that would create a HOA and a lot of expense on that side and construction expense, we wanted to give our homeowners the piece of land underneath their unit.
Right.
So what we did was we literally just took our normal size 22 or 23 foot wide townhouse and split it in half to get the price about half of what a larger one needs to be here in Atlanta. So it's the first of its kind. It's nothing new. Again, if you go to other cities that are kind of more mature than we are in the cycle, such as Toronto or Melbourne, Australia, you'll see lots of, well, not lots, but quite a bit of these narrower units. And I think the timing is such here that we can hit that affordability and give someone a true house that they own the dirt below them and only have the neighbors on the side instead of being in a true condo situation. So it's kind of a, we're trying it out here and we've had just a wild amount of success with it. They're all sold and we have a list of lots of people who would love to have these. So we think that there's some room to grow and continue doing these.
So what's the square footage in this?
So these are about 1504.
It's still about a house.
Yeah,
it's not bad. I mean, if you think about the smaller little bungalows in those neighborhoods, we compete with some of those because we have a single car garage. Most of those single bungalows, you have to park on the street.
Right.
And the yards are really not much to speak of. And we have a rooftop deck that has a basically a yard space. And then we also have a small courtyard in the front that you could let your dog out or little small children, something like that. So we see that people are shifting. It used to be, even when I got out of school about 15 years ago, once couples would get married, they would move out to the burbs because they wanted the house and the space and everything like that.
Right.
But now we're seeing a lot of folks stay in town and they're okay. When I first started, you would never get a couple with small children buying a townhome, even if it did have yards and roof decks and everything. Just they eventually would just move out to the burbs. But now I'm seeing a good percentage of the people who are staying and they want to be close. They don't want that hour commute each way.
Right.
They want to take that time and spend it with their families or with, you know, going to the gym or something productive instead of being in the car. And again, I think it's that whole shift of they want to be different than their parents. They saw their folks drive every day and come home angry about the commute. And, you know, they thought, I'm not going to do that. And so location becomes very important because your amenity is your neighborhood now.
Right.
Just like it would be in a big city like Chicago where you're from, you know. So you can go down in the bottom of your building and get your shopping done. So we're trying to look for locations that are on the Beltline or in one of these little downtown areas that were prevalent, such as Kirkwood or Chambly. And it's not only the younger folks, it's the empty nesters. We're seeing quite a few empty nesters who come down. Once they sell their big house, the kids are off to college, they come down and they want to be a part of this. They want to see the new restaurants. They want to be a part of the action. You know, they spent the last 20 years raising children and being in soccer games and driving to Costco and all that stuff. And they're just looking for a change of pace. And so it offers just a awesome lock and leave play where they can literally lock the door, hop on MARTA and travel wherever they want, come back. And so it's a nice play for them as well.
I tell you, it's a great lifestyle. That's what I'm doing. So, all right. Well, I'm a little late taking this to break, but Alan, Carol and I, we'll be right back.
Are you thinking about buying a new home? Well, here are more reasons a Right Choice home from Jackson EMC is your best choice. This is Ty Pennington, and I've been in the construction industry for a long time. And I know of no other home building program where the finished product is so energy efficient that it comes with two home warranties. Plus, the home also gets Jackson EMC's lowest energy rate. That's a Right Choice home only from Jackson EMC. Visit jacksonemc.com for more.
All right, we're back with Alan Kablik, Kablik Enterprises.
So we've talked a little bit about green and a little bit about what today's buyers are looking for in homes, but you know, what do you see in terms of, you know, trends and finishes, and you know, is home automation a big part of what you're doing? And
well, yes, because now we used to only see that in our really high-end custom homes, and it was very expensive because everything had to be wired. And there was just—I remember one of the ones I built that was actually in the film called The Accountant with Ben Affleck. There's a big house that I built, and I can't remember what the length of the wire, but it, you know, it could go around the moon or something crazy like that
oh,
with
gosh.
The amount of wiring we had to put in this house. And if you saw the panels, it looked like we were building a NASA space station or something.
Right.
But that was just to get every single light where you could automate it through the system. Now with Bluetooth, you can get all that done with just changing bulbs and with simple little devices that you put at your, you know, you can put a camera now in your light fixtures.
Wow.
And you can put a doorbell that you can talk to the people at your door from anywhere in the world, and they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's $200 or less for some of those things, and Nests and things of that nature that really are fairly inexpensive, and they easily integrate, and they don't require that labor intensive wiring and everything. So we are, and we're offering these technology packages that have all those items kind of bundled in. So when you come, they're already installed, and we can teach the folks how to use them. And they're very easy.
It's come
a long way.
I laugh as long as we've been doing the show. There was a time when we started where people would say, and there's a point to this silly little ramble, oh, and we have granite countertops. And that used to be a distinctive feature, right? Well, now every house does, right? So now you can't say that anymore. Well, I think we're quickly come to the point where people are going to say, there needs to be automation in this house, and I want to be able to be connected and wired to it and have a smart house. You know,
sure.
I think we're getting really, really close to when that's going to be expected. Yeah.
Right.
I agree. And I think, too, another thing that I always have this vision, and I don't know if it'll ever pan out, but the solar panels, I always use the example of your big screen TVs. I don't know if you remember when the plasmas came out, they were 10 grand.
Yeah.
And they weighed like 500 pounds.
And
you had to have like a crew to come put them up. Well, those now, you can get like a 70-inch TV for a couple grand nowadays or even less.
Yeah.
And the same things happen with the PV panels, with the solar panels. They're getting better and lighter in many ways. And I think what will happen is people will look at lots differently. They'll say, well, how much sun does it get? Because they can get their panels faced, and they'll you know, kind of start spinning their meter the other way. So I think the solar is a big deal that's going to continue to. It's not quite there yet. We haven't been able to in mass scale do the solar, but I think that will be.
But that's coming.
It's coming,
and it is going to revolutionize how you think about the design and placement on the lot. I mean, I do have a friend in town who just put solar panels on his wall, and he was telling me about the. Now it was an expensive investment.
Yep.
But the long term play,
where it's
in terms of it's going to save. Resources. I mean, it's an amazing story. Now, you're right. There's going to come a point where we're going to go to Walmart and say, oh, honey, I think we need another panel.
Yeah.
Can you grab one, please? You know, I mean, so it's going to become simple to do that. And like granite countertops and home automation, I think it will become a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you look at, you know, certain lots have better sun. Mm-hmm. And I think there'll be like a rating, you know, like, oh, this lot has a, they have this walkability score. There'll be like the solar score, like,
right.
In certain
and the
parts
lot will
of the
be
country,
less expensive if it doesn't have good sun.
That's right, because it's people see the value in it when it really starts to save them money. And now with the electric cars and everything coming in, you could start to see, okay, wow, I'm, you know, not only am I not paying for fuel, I might even be able to create my own sun to partially pay for my electric bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's amazing what the future is. But as far as finishes go, we're seeing a more simple, less busy kind of, I'm sure you see it all the time. There's lots of blacks, grays, whites now, real popular.
Love it.
I think it's great. And it's classic. It's not as trendy over time. I think it'll hold up better than some of the ones that have come and gone. But also, I think finally, we're seeing some different appliance colors, which I'm happy about. I feel like stainless had its
course.
There's
that black stainless now that's so hot.
And people are going back to whites again, and there's like colored appliances. So I think we'll see that be a big trend to go back. You know, you think of like the avocado and stuff like that from the 70s. And you know what's funny?
I kind of like it.
Mm. When it's done in the right way.
I think it's a unique kind of a thing.
You know?
So it all comes back. I'm seeing wall coverings again.
In some cases.
The other thing that I think is really neat are vinyl floors now. They've gotten so intricate with their graining and things.
Oh my gosh.
They look
just
so
like wood.
Much better.
Oh, some of them look just like wood.
They really do. And I think that that will come into play, especially in the more affordable stuff, but it really has a rich look and they last forever and they're great for kids and dogs and things of that nature.
So, and men.
And men.
And men. Right, right,
absolutely. So,
there you go.
Yeah,
Todd said it. I didn't say it.
All right. Well, Alan, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate all your insights and excited about where you're going. I love the idea of this 1,500 square foot home. I think that is going to become a very popular trend and I think that's going to hold for a while. Anyway, I hope it does.
Before
I let you go, should anyone have any questions of you and want to learn more about Cablic Enterprises, where do they go?
Yes, check out our website at cablicenterprises.com. We're also on Instagram and all over the web. So, and feel free to give us a call at our office. You can find our number on the website and shoot me an email at alan@cablicenterprises.com.
Alan Cablic, the president of Cablic Enterprises. Great to have you again. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's About Real Estate edition. On behalf of today's guest, Alan Cablic, my co-host, Carol Morgan, I am Todd Schnick. We're signing off for now. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. We'll see you then.
Today's episode was made possible by the Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.